Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, Joe, why do you think, Joe, that these prostitutors are not prosecuting these guys, that guy that shot his girlfriend 22 times? Why do you think they're allowing them out? They're allowing them out on bond.
They want to breed fear, mistrust, division. They are trying to overwhelm and make people afraid and
there's a method. Look, there's a method to the madness here, Joe. What they're looking to do, they know that they cannot possibly win a fair and legal election. They can't win one. They know that. They know that what's coming up in the midterms, and they know what's coming up in November. They know that we're on to them. They can't get away with their cheating. Look, this whole thing, you had Biden out there yesterday bragging about he won an election with the most votes in the history. More people voted than at any time in the history of the country. Then he turns around and says there was voter suppression by the Republicans.
Right, and then they're saying if we don't pass this new voter law that they have, if we don't federalize the election, we'll never be able to guarantee a fair and free election.
Wait so a minute. They're crooked.
The largest election in the country, that's right. Totally the opposite, folks.
So what Chuckie Schumer, they're completely corrupt. And what they want to do is they want to legalize voter fraud. This is where a lot of these prostitutors in all of these blue cities, these Democrats, these are George Soros bought and paid for. He bought them. He owns them. And this is why they want to, one, they want to make sure that the gangs, that the criminals out there know that they're allied with them. So
they're trying to terrorize the people, make the people afraid. They'll be afraid to vote. They'll be afraid to say no to different things.
Right. That's exactly the threat that if you go out, remember what they did. They put the fear into those courts, where those black-robed, I'm so sick, those judges had no guts to stand up, so afraid of burn, loot, and murder, and so afraid of Antifa, they refused to hear the cases, all of these cases on election fraud. See, Joe, that's their job. Their job is to hear these cases, Joe.
Right. And you can't see the evidence if you don't hear the case, right?
Exactly. And so that's the idea that they're going to say, all right, gangs, well, don't worry about it. We got our prostitutors there. You go out, you can burn, you can loot. You don't worry about going to jail. We'll bail you out. We'll do the Kamala Harris on you, okay?
Yeah, well, that's why they're saying two things. If Biden, won by the greatest majority in history, then they can't turn around and say, well, if we don't federalize our elections, we'll never have a fair and free election. One or both of those things has to be a lie. They cannot be both true, but they can be and are both false.
Biden didn't win the election. Biden stole that election.
Yeah.
And anyone and everyone that says that that's not true is a liar and there's no truth. And look, I sat there and I watched, and you would expect PMSNBC, CNN, you expect them, they're going to lie, okay?
Yeah.
But those that claim to be fair and balanced, Brett Baer, I watched Brett Baer look in there and lie through his teeth. He lied like a rug. I watched Neil Kubota, Susan Smith, Chris Wallace look in there, and they knew, Joe, you could tell looking at their face, you could tell by the look on their face, they knew that they were lying through their teeth, but yet they called it the narrative, right? And so there was so much election fraud, Joe, you couldn't miss it. I mean, we watched it. We watched it. We watched them flip the numbers right before our very eyes. Now, you have to be a complete fool, Joe. You have to be a complete fool when you look out and you see Trump having rallies turning out 50, 60,000 people, and Joe Biden's turning on 11 and 12 people.
Yeah,
you have to be a fool.
The biggest we saw was like 300.
Right, and you have to be a complete fool to see. What did he say? He just had a rally the other night and said traffic was backed up for 25 miles.
Yeah.
Okay. I was in a Trump train. I saw it for myself, okay? And so we knew it. I mean, you have to be, and they did. They lied. I wish I could get them in a room and lock the doors and then preach them a message on lying, you know, because the Bible says all liars will have their place in the lake of fire, huh?
That's pretty clear, yeah.
So
I've got something I want to back up, but we haven't given that number out. Folks, we haven't given the numbers out. You can call 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. 1-888-677-9673. Pastor Ernie took on a whole raft of new stations, and normally it takes a year to two to three to get a station to be self-supporting. And by the grace of God and with your help, we have not been taken off the station yet. We have come squeakingly close. Just we have been sweating bullets sometimes. So we do need to hear from you, because we have to be able to have a station pay for itself. Sometimes some are a little short, and others have, you know, donate a little more. But to keep on those stations, we have to be able to pay the bill there.
So, already, you know, Kathy in Cleveland pledges $25. Beverly in Manhattan pledges $200. Stephanie in New York pledges $40. Again, this is the second time.
Oh. Wow.
So okay, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We are about $3,800, not 38, 28. We're $2,800 is what we need. We're $2,800 short of our goal. So we have got virtually 40 minutes to raise $2,800, Joe.
And I've got some information I want to give out. If you have a pencil, paper, pen and paper, what we're seeing is evil plaguing this nation and plaguing the world. And what's really happening in that evil is a lust for power. This is an overwhelming lust, and power is what? The ability to dominate, rule others. I read an article, essay, Kevin Duffy wrote, "What Drives the Lust for Power?" And he brought it down to five factors: ignorance, greed, fear, envy, and fantasy. This lust drives these politicians. People often go into politics because of the love of power. And we know, remember Thomas Jefferson, Pastor, "The natural progress of things is for liberty to yield, for government to gain ground." Our founding fathers knew the dangers of this lust for power with King George III and his power. You've got to, one, keep people ignorant. Yeah, keep people ignorant of their constitution, their heritage, their history, the nature of our economic system. Then you can, you know, sway them with politicians with slick promises and lies. You play on the people's greed. You pit one segment of the citizen against the other, letting things get to a boiling point until the government has to come in and bring a solution to the problem that they created. Then the government has to make mountains out of molehills. They have to instigate fear until the people demand the government, you know, save them. And then they have to nurture envy, fertilizing this class warfare, race warfare. They have to pit one group against another, create this envy and hate and fear. And finally, this fantasy of communism that we can have a utopia, a heaven on earth that, you know, everybody can be equal. We can all have the same thing, and it'll be one big happy family. And God has told us that there's only going to be one heaven, and the scripture makes it very clear how we get there, right, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah, it makes it pretty clear at all together,
so
yeah.
What he wrote in that essay, he just nailed everything the Democratic Party is doing in a very condensed version. Very simple, condensed, and every word of it true.
Okay, Joe, I'm going to play a little bit of a clip here. And, John, make sure. Now, there's one word in here. Did you just listen? It starts with S. And when you hear it, just hit the, you know, you got to.
Better be quick.
Yeah, okay. So, but I'm going to play this because this goes back to 1994. And this is a meeting that took place at the United Nations. 160 nations were there, Joe. 160 nations. So here you go. This.
In 1994, the World Population Summit in Cairo, Egypt, had 160 nations participate, where they all agreed that the human population was out of control and must be stopped because the world is running out of resources. An agreement was formed that would mandate the reduction of humans from 6 billion to 800 million by the year 2030. This meant finding a method or methods to wipe out nearly 95% of the population. Solutions were discovered, investigated, tested, then created, and have been in full force since. The procedures have been inflicted onto the human race are as follows. 1. Toxic levels of chemically enhanced fluoride have been secretly added to our drinking water over the last 20 years in every city and community on the planet. I personally oversaw the delivery of fluoride barrels to Denver, Chicago, Tampa, and Minneapolis water departments. The adverse effects of fluoride poisoning to the human body are numerous and debilitating. The effects to children is damage to their neurological development, among other serious ailments. 2. Man-made viruses and diseases. The AIDS virus, which was a design and byproduct of the American Disease Institute, was distributed through vaccines to the public in 1980. Instituted as a preliminary population control tactic, the results were successful and led to more lab-produced viruses that have since been unleashed onto the public. Among those is the development of a mutated version of the common flu to replicate the 1918 influenza pandemic that killed 40 million people. The first strain of this new flu virus will be released to the public in late 2017. So if we see a flu outbreak in the late 2017 or early 2018 that's killing people, we'll know this is true.
Right.
3. Killing us from the air with neurotoxins, barium chloride, cancer microbes, and viruses by way of chemtrails. Released into the skies daily over all inhabited regions by military aircrafts. The effects of these toxins are severe and over time lethal, causing respiratory ailments, cancer, damage to the immune systems, and sterilization in men. Since the chemtrail plan was implemented, sperm count in men has dropped nearly 50%. If this isn't reversed soon, the human race will face early extinction. Now the grand finale. This is some scary. In March 1997, an event known as the Phoenix Lights became the most infamous UFO sighting in history. A mile-wide vessel, clearly not man-made, flew slowly and silently over the state of Arizona and was witnessed by 10,000 people, including the governor of Arizona. To date, there has been no reasonable explanation. But for every witness interviewed, the craft was as real as anything they'd ever seen. Their lives were transformed. They now believe that we truly are not alone. However, there is another truth, for I know what they really saw. 1986, while stationed at an underground installation near Boulder, Colorado, I was introduced to Project Skybeam by Lieutenant General Andrew Garris. I was then led down a corridor and into a large hangar where a stealth bomber hovered only 20 feet above me. I stood there confused, and Garris looked over me and smiled, then asked if I was certain of what I was seeing. I replied, "Of course. What else could it be?" I was then shocked to find out that this wasn't a real craft. It was a projected hologram. Since the early 1950s, scientists had been developing holographic technology, and over the years improved it to a state that we can only imagine. As I stood there staring at the bomber, which looked so absolutely real and solid that I could reach up and touch it, I contemplated the possibilities. What if this projection was 1,000 feet up in the sky? How would anyone know that that was an illusion? The Phoenix Lights craft, witnessed by 10,000 people, was the first grand-scale skybeam test upon the public. It succeeded beyond expectations. In October 1938, Orson Welles unleashed his War of the Worlds radio broadcast to the American public. It was so realistically portrayed, vast portions of the population went into panic. Terrified citizens scrambled to evacuate their cities in droves. America had been easily tricked by very simple means. To amplify this response, those who are truly in power, not only our country, but all the countries on the planet, and who are the true purveyors of the depopulation process, have formulated the final stage of their sinister plan. In the year 2024, a global event will alter the course of mankind's future. The world will stand witness to a massive alien invasion. Thousands of projected holographic alien warships will blanket the skies, sending people into a global panic. Real military crafts within the holograms will inflict actual damage to the surrounding areas to sell the gimmick. And as a result of the ensuing human chaos, a one-world government will immediately form without any resistance from the people. They will be the new world order. Once this happens, we as a people will be doomed to enslavement and accelerated depopulation. With that said, the only hope for human salvation is to acquire and spread the knowledge of these activities and agendas. Resist, retaliate, then conquer this imposing enemy. The time is now, as humanity is rapidly approaching.
We're back. Hey, Joe, have you ever seen one of those holograms?
No, I haven't, to be honest.
I have, okay. And you cannot tell. We had a situation where simulated tanks in a field. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, it looked like you could walk right up and climb on one, but they weren't there. Now, the problems they have are back then. I don't know about now. That's been many years ago. But on a windy day, it didn't work real good for some reason.
High wind, yeah.
But the other thing was...
I've heard rumors and stories, but never seen it.
Well, I'll tell you where I saw a really good example of it. I was at the SeaWorld, and they had the water show, and they had old King Cole come up out of the water. What's
Neptune.
His name? Pardon?
Neptune.
That's who it was, Neptune. Oh. And they had Neptune come up out of the water, and I'm going to tell you, it looked very real, and it scared some of the kids out there. I mean, really scared them. But, I mean, it looked very, very real. And what they used, the lasers beams on the mist of the water out there, which it was heavy enough to really give them a good, solid look. You just would have thought that it was for real. Now, can you imagine if they were to use that and have an appearance of the Lord Jesus, a fake appearance, commanding his people to do this or that? Or could you imagine if you had that demanding to obey the corrupt government? Yeah,
I could see all kinds of possibilities there. Except the Lord, the Scripture makes it plain that we will see, we will know.
Yeah, well, yeah. This is we just read that yesterday.
Right.
Okay, so anyhow, you got to remember. The deception is going to be so great. Jesus said
that even the elect.
If it were possible, the elect, even the elect. But with the elect, it's not possible because the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, huh?
Right. And that will tell us that is not our Messiah, our Savior.
All righty. Carol from San Diego pledges 100. Kathy from Sarasota pledges 200. And Gary from Michigan pledges 29. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673. Joe, we have 30 minutes. 30 minutes, and we need to raise quite a bit. I'm not sure. We'll find out in a minute.
Good news. Maybe that'll help. CDC came out and affirms natural immunity, that it is superior to vaccines. A new Center for Disease study found this during the Delta surge. The study was just released yesterday, but it was taken during the Delta surge. And it basically said that it came right out. This is before the Omicron came. And natural immunity affords longer-lasting, stronger protection against infection, symptomatic disease, and hospitalization compared to the vaccine. And they're...
Yeah, but Joe, what you don't understand. Fauci will be out here in a couple of days with a new vaccine that gives you natural immunity.
No, that is not possible. One, we know that.
Who cares?
We know Fauci is still... Fauci has been dismissing the power of natural immunity, but what the good news is, there's a study in Science magazine. I'm looking. There was a study at Emory University. Two or three. There's studies now coming out of Israel. Everywhere I look, all around the world, they're figuring out finally that the natural immunity is far better than the vaccines. The vaccines are failing.
Where did we hear that before? How long have we been telling you that?
We've been saying it for a long time, and now, but I just, every time I look, there's another Dr. Paul Elias Alexander, world famous doctor, is teamed up with the Yale School of Medicine. He compiled a list of 146 studies indicating natural immunity to COVID from a previous infection is superior to immunity by the vax. We should, according to this world expert, leading expert, we should not force vaccines on anyone when the evidence shows that their immunity, if they've had it, is more robust and superior. And plus, we respect the right of the individual to decide for themselves. This guy I was looking has got a tremendous background record. He was a former advisor. He's a assistant professor at McMaster University in Ontario. He's been an advisor to the World Health Organization, advisor to the U.S. government, and a senior advisor on the pandemic, the U.S. Health and Human Services. So this is a government bureaucrat stepping up and saying they have been basically misleading the public with the assertions that the COVID shots were better. So a former government official is telling the truth now.
Well, you know what's happening in Israel. Israel's study finds that the fourth booster shot is totally ineffective.
Right.
Moderna and biotech stocks are plummeting.
And it's harmful. And not only is it not effective, they have come out and said that it is destroying the body's immunity, and it is causing harm to the body. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but they're now saying the more you get, the more harm is done.
Well, yeah.
we've been saying that since
we've
way
been
back
telling,
when we started.
Right, we've been telling people, to, you know, because I've gotten all kinds of letters from people. And
yeah,
they got the first shot, and they wrote me and told me because they heard us on the radio, they're not going to get the second shot. But all of the frontline doctors tell you don't do it. If you've got one, do not take another one.
The European Union's top health agency warned, this is just last Friday, that getting the booster every 4 months is harmful to the immune system's ability to fight the disease. In other words, it's hurting your immune system. Even the World Health Organization said last week that this vaccine strategy is inappropriate, unsustainable, will not work. So even the World Health Organization, the vaccine boosters, etc., will not help. And you're right, the money's, you know. Once,
well, you know, the World Health Organization.
Money.
Yeah, we played that clip where the World Health Organization said you should not use that on, you should not use the vaccine to kill children.
Yeah.
You should use that vaccine to kill the sick and the elderly.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's horrible.
COVID-19 vaccine spike proteins are shedding, giving people heart attacks. That's right. The spike proteins injected into people with the Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 vax can be shed. Vaccine, the shedding can severely affect the people around the vaccinated person and cause several health complications such as a heart attack. When people take the RNA, the mRNA vaccine, the mRNA enters the body and tells it to create what is called the spike protein. This helps the body immune system to supposedly to detect the COVID-19 virus and get rid of it as soon as it enters the body.
But it implants itself permanently in your body.
Yeah, in reality, the spike proteins injected in the people are at least partially responsible for many of the adverse effects vaccinated people experience. More young athletes are being injured or killed by the COVID vaccine. Now, see, we're telling people this while it's happening.
We told them months ago about the myocarditis and the heart attacks and the athletes dying. I mean, quite a while ago.
And folks, remember, right from the word go, remember who told you, who encouraged you to get the poisonous poke. Remember, don't forget, write it down. When the news, you got these talking heads in the news media telling you, you got these so-called doctors. Remember who they are. You write it down. Because when it comes out, it's going to come out. And these people are dying. And when the truth comes out, remember who was telling you, who was warning you not to take the poison. All right. Judicial Watch.
Oh, yeah.
FBI. FBI. That's the Federal Bureau of Insurrection.
Yeah. They're the insurrectionists. They led the insurrection. They planned it. They fomented it, so yes, you're exactly right.
Shows Pfizer tied to investigative file targeting Project Veritas. The Federal Bureau of Insurrection is working hand in glove with Pfizer to target Project Veritas, journalists and journalism, also us, anyone who speaks out against the deep state and the corruption in the deep state. Conservative watchdog groups like Judicial Watch on Tuesday revealed the Federal Bureau of Insurrection has communications from Pfizer in an investigative file targeting Project Veritas.
They don't like Project Veritas at all.
They don't like us. They don't like parents that want to protect their children from the school boards.
No, in fact, the, what was it? Where is that? I've got something on that on the school board. Oh, they came out. Basically, most of these school boards thought the children belonged to the state. That's why the parents don't have the right to tell the school boards what to do, because the school boards work for society, not the parents, and they're in charge of doing what they think is best for, quote, society. No, they don't have control over your children, and that we call that stinking thinking, right?
Well, I'm going to give you a little. This is a young woman who's addressing. She's being a tad bit sarcastic because she's talking to the school board, and then there's another woman who's doing that. And the problem that they don't understand is that school board really, it's about money. They could care less if the kids are getting sick, wearing a mask. All they know is they're getting big bucks from the government put the face diapers on those children. And so if it makes them sick, it makes them sick. If they commit suicide, they commit suicide. Hey, does it really matter as long as they're getting tons of bucks from Joey Biden? Here you go.
Nope.
I'm going to. Now, this young woman is being very sarcastic. And
Hi, I'm Addison George, and I'm here to say thank you. Thank you, School Board and Superintendent Bridges, for not using your power to push back on the state of Illinois about the mask mandate. We get to wear masks all day, every day now. Isn't that great? Thank you for forcing me to wear a mask so I no longer have to brush my teeth or wash my face. Seriously, my life is so much easier. I don't wear glasses, but if I did, I would thank you for concealing my eyes with the fog from my breath, too. Thank you for teaching students that our own mental health is much less important than making triple vaccinated adults feel safe. Thank you for teaching me that even the most minute risk is not worth taking. Life is best when you take the path of least resistance, with no chance of failure and definitely no chance of catching a cold. Thank you for not reaching out to the students to ask how we feel about masks, because if you did, the majority of students would say that they hate masks, and then you might second guess your decision to make us wear them. Thank you for allowing me to experience the anxiety associated with never seeing facial expressions. Thank you for teaching us that we should never question authority or think critically, but instead, we should follow whatever the people in charge tell us to do. Obedience is best. I realize now that thinking for yourself is overrated and not really necessary when you can just make decisions based on fear. Thank you for pushing your irrational fears and anxieties on me, because I didn't already have enough to worry about. I realize now how easy I had it when I only had to worry about my classes, my grades, SAT, and getting into college. Thank you for teaching me that being a morally superior person only requires that I cover my face for 8 hours a day, and that the most morally superior people wear 2 masks or even 3 masks. As you know, states around us, Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, and Minnesota, which have 2.5 times more students than Illinois, don't force kids to wear masks. I'm with you, though. These states are out of control, recklessly putting kids at risk of misery and death every day. Masks work, even if these states have the same outcomes as Illinois. Speaking of data, thank you for staying silent about masking, despite the fact that COVID has a very high survival rate in kids my age. Who needs data anyway, though? We all know that it will never be safe to see anyone's face ever again. Thank you for not challenging this irrational fear and ineffective COVID policy of masking. After all, the $42 billion spent in research by the NEH, not $1 went towards studying the mental health aspect of kids. I ask you, don't give in. Stay strong, stay courageous, stay quiet, and let's keep masks on kids forever. Thank you.
On behalf of the whole board, thank you for your comments. We always like to hear from students. Our next speaker will be Jenny George.
We always like to hear from our students. I love that line.
Now we're going to hear from another woman.
Good evening, Jenny George, parent. The reason I'm here tonight is to advocate for the children of this district to be able to attend school without being forced to cover their faces. Over half of the children in this country have been attending mask optional school all year. We are one of only a handful of states mandating that masks be worn in all schools. And guess what? The mask optional schools have the same outcomes as mask required schools. The reason for that is because cloth and surgical masks cannot and do not stop SARS-CoV-2. I've sent you many emails, studies, data supporting this statement, and have asked that you tell me what evidence you're using to forcibly cover the faces of our children. I understand that it's easier to look the other way while imposing this policy on our children, but your job, all of you, is to make decisions that are based on evidence. There is not one shred of evidence that masking children in school reduces transmission in schools or lowers the rate of transmission in the broader community. We are at a point in this pandemic where, one, every adult and school-aged child can be vaccinated. Two, adults and teens can even be boosted. Three, we have a variant that is significantly less severe than previous variants per the CDC. Four, hospitals are not at capacity in this area or this state. Five, there is statistically zero risk to children for severe outcomes, and yet we are still forcing facial decorations on our children for 7+ hours a day. At a minimum, you need to quantify the risk you're willing to accept. Currently, the rate of hospitalization in vaccinated children is 2 to 3 per million. If this is not low enough, what is? Nothing in life is zero risk. If teachers want to wear N95 masks, they can do so. even if you believe with every fiber of your being that masks are protecting you from COVID, despite all the evidence to the contrary, at what point do you decide that the almost non-existent risk to children is not worth the damage of forcing them to cover their faces? We have stolen 2 years from our children. It is not my child's job to protect you or anyone else from getting a respiratory infection. It is not my child's job to manage hospital capacity. There are very well-paid hospital administrators who should be doing that. And it is not my child's job to make you or anyone else feel safe. So here's what I'm asking. I'm asking all of you to write letters and make phone calls to the governor, IDPH, and ISBE every single day, telling them that you are done forcing our children to cover their beautiful faces with a dirty, bacteria-filled, useless mask. It is past time for you to stand up for the children and put them before politics. They have carried the burden of this pandemic for far too long. Thank you.
Joe, that's when Dr. Parker died, he left boxes of those masks. And of course, you know where they were made, most of them in China.
Yeah.
And so when this whole thing started out and people wanted to wear masks, I thought, well, you know, I've been wearing those masks when I work in the garage down there because of the dust or the sawdust, but not, you know, that's it. But on
right.
the box, Joe.
Keep that sawdust from your breathing sawdust.
On right. the box, on the box, guess what it says written very clearly?
That does not stop virus.
Will not, this mask will not stop any virus. But it says it's good up. It's good up to 5 splashes of blood. Okay, that's what it says right on the box. And so they, you know, and these were the same masks that they were handing out to everybody. So they said, look, we gotta get that off the boxes, you know, because a lot of those people can read out there. Okay. And already,
well, you can't tell people the truth. I mean, good grief, that ruins the narrative.
Right. We're up right now. We are 12 minutes away, and we're 2,500 short. We need $200 a minute. We got to raise $200 a minute right now. We need to raise $200 a minute. So, Joe, go ahead and raise it. No, here, let me read you this one. That's right, asphyxiation. I knew I would get it out. Okay, I'm having a hard time tonight.
Yeah.
Asphyxiation disease, or MAD, now sweeping across America and the world, right? Okay. Hypercapnia occurs when CO2 levels become elevated in the body. This happens when we rebreathe the gaseous waste air coming out of our mouths and noses, imposing harmful and dangerous effects on the mind and body. Rebreathing CO2 increases your blood pressure and leads to rapid heart rate, chest pain, confusion, twitches, headaches, fatigue, panic attacks, and mass formation, psychosis. Once this becomes perpetual, organ damage and asphyxiation probability increases. About 200 million Americans are suffering from this relatively new syndrome resulting from being deprived of proper amounts of oxygen. It's slowly suffocating, and the COVID masks are to blame for all of it, whether homemade or N95. The masks aren't to blame. Idiots are to blame, okay? People, they know better. It's about money, Joe. It's the reason, you know, and these parents are upset. The reason these school board people don't care because they get money.
They're giving millions and millions of dollars to these bigger school districts.
One large district got almost $1 billion to force those little kids to hide their faces, to put those dirty diapers on their faces.
It's our tax money to pay back the teachers' unions for supporting the Democratic Party. It's a wonderful circle if you're a Democrat.
Well, here's another one. You've heard a lot. There's been a lot of activity. A number of pilots are very upset because they were supposed to activate the 5G towers.
Right.
And they're afraid that they could kill people, and that they could disrupt the airplanes in flight. But also, now here's an article, activating 5G towers could kill people who took the COVID-19 vaccines.
Oh.
Now here, telecommunications mega corporations are poised to launch their upgraded 5G networks of the United States this January. This despite the fact that there is plenty of evidence that such a rollout would lead to catastrophe and deaths, especially among Americans who are fully vaccinated against the Wuhan virus. Sean, the host of SGT Reports online show, pointed out that there is evidence that 5G towers emitting some kind of electromagnet waves that directly attack people's bodies. As evidence, he provides a video released by the public, La Quinta Columna. La Quinta Columna, a Spanish-language media outlet, is notable for being one of the first independent outlets to report the COVID-19 vaccines contain toxic substances, graphene oxide. Related study, 5G exposure, a significant factor in higher COVID deaths. The Spanish media outlet played a short clip, one of its recent live streams, of a man who parks his bike next to a 5G tower for a few seconds and then suddenly collapses out of nowhere. Ricardo Delgado Martin, founder of La Quinta Columna and host of the media outlet show, pointed out that the CCTV camera that had captured the man's sudden collapse experienced a glitch in his video feed less than a second before the incident occurred. Delgado speculates that this glitch is what triggered the man's collapse and that it was caused by the 5G tower right next to him. Okay, there you go. All right, we have, let me see. Leslie in Wisconsin pledged 50. Lucy in Colorado pledged 100. And Mike and Maria in New York pledged 150. We are still, folks, we are still about 2,100 short, I think, right now. So 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. We definitely need to hear it. We're running out of time. We've got about 7 minutes left, Joe.
Well, let me remind the folks out there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're told, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." God has explained that when we give to, you know, help our brothers and sisters, when we give to a ministry, he will reward those by laying up crowns and treasures in heaven. And he tells us we're not going to be able to outgive him. If we give, he'll make sure we can continue to give if we're giving for the right reason and for the right cause. So you've got, well, that's what God has to say, so I don't think we need to add much to that.
All right, folks, we need to hear from you right away, as soon as possible, believe me. So far, we've managed to stay on this year without going off any stations, but it's tough. We have a huge bill, and we got to take, you know, we got to be here to continue to bring you what they don't want you to know out there. Here's something they don't want you to know. Something strange going on in Antarctica. COVID outbreak at fully vaxxed base soon from soon after.
In the middle of nowhere, right?
Right, alleged Antarctica. Here, one attendee tweeted, "This will change everything." The entire vax base was fully vaxxed, and they all got COVID.
COVID in a remote place, right?
Yep.
I don't think there's this virus is going to do what the virus does. It's going to go wherever God wills it to go. And I've got one. Just if you're paying for your child to go to a liberal college or university, this is the kind of teacher your children might run into. They're at Michigan Ferris State University. I watched a video of Professor Barry Mailer. And now, this is a 14 minute, so I'm just going to tell you the highlights. He's wearing a space helmet, and he says he just returned from Rigel 7. The intergalactic internet is all abuzz about the planet where civilization is collapsing, and he talks about life on Earth is going extinct and because of the corona and all this. I wanted to introduce myself before we actually meet. He's saying face-to-face. Because if you meet face-to-face, we're all going to be the F word, you know, messed up. There's no benefit coming to my class. I won't be taking any questions in person. I'm wearing this effing helmet to stay alive. And he goes on and on. My classes are all designed to be taught remotely. Everything you need to earn an A is available on your Canvas page. None of you expletive deletive students are good enough to earn an A. So I randomly assign grades before the first day of class. I don't want to know S about you. I don't even want to know your name. I look at the numbers, assign a grade. That's how predestination works. And he goes on with a rant of profanity that I can't even figure out how to fake it on the radio without, you know, breaking all kinds of laws. I'm retiring at the end of this year, and I could really give a flying leap. And blah, blah, blah. He goes on, I'll be wearing this helmet. This, he talks about how much the helmet costs. It's going to protect me from the virus. You keep your distance. Don't even come near me. You're trying to kill me. This was a college professor there at in Michigan at the State University, folks. And I imagine people are paying, what, $25,000, $30,000 a year to have your children exposed to idiots like this.
My guess that he, if he's retiring, he'll be into politics. He will be a rising star in the Democratic Party. He would,
Either that or he's going to find himself a place on Antarctica by himself where he's going to be virus free.
Well, couldn't you see him and Pocahontas getting together or or maybe Ayuk? All right, we have approximately, well, we don't have much time. I'm going to go and take Pastor Hal. We're going to bring Pastor Hal up.
Oh, all right.
And he's going to give us an invitation, but folks, we are still very, very short. We're 2,000 short of our goal for tonight, so we got to hear from you. We don't have much time left at all, so help us help you. We want to stay on the station you're listening to us on right now.
Something like we haven't heard tonight from Denver or Tampa. There's several places I haven't heard you say. San Diego. There's a couple other cities. We need to hear from you.
Oh, we had one I think from Colorado tonight. Yeah, from
Colorado. Okay.
Okay. So
my memory isn't what it used to be.
All right, Annie in Cleveland just placed 150. That helps us. It gets us a little closer. Thank you. We're still short. We need to hear from you. We need a couple. Look, all we need is two people to pledge 1,000, or we need one person to pledge 2,000. That's all we need, Joe.
Yeah.
Maybe Hal will do it.
He volunteers on a volunteer salary, right, yeah.
Right. All righty, there you go. We can't let this down. Okay, look.
888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have Doers of the Word Baptist Church pledge another 1,000. We've already pledged one. We're going to pledge another 1,000. Doers of the Word Church, because this radio program is vital nowadays. And, you know, it's by God's grace alone that we're still on the air, because the bad people don't like us at all. Okay.
Maybe people, the listeners out there, could get their church to make us part of their missions giving, because we're, you know, spreading the word, warning the people, being the watchman on the wall. See if your church won't support this ministry.
All right, so let's do this. Put us down there for another 1,000. Doers of the Word there, John. And also now we have John in Ohio pledges another 200. Okay. All right, so That means we leave. We need, let me see, what do we got? We have 4,179, so that needs, and we just, okay, that means we have right about $800. We need about 800. We need at least one person to pledge $800. We can make our goal tonight, okay? Or two people to pledge 400. And so maybe they'll do that. Well, Hal, while you're giving an invitation, you got about 4 minutes to do it.
Okay, everybody within the sound of my voice has probably gone to a church all their life where they've been told that if their good works outbalance their bad works, they'll go to heaven. Or if their church membership or their water baptism or something like that. But that's all lies. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. In other words, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, Luke 13:3. You can't get to heaven by your good works. If you could quit sinning right now and never sin again till the day you died, just the sins you've already done would be enough to keep you out of heaven. And nobody can save you except Jesus. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That means you don't get to heaven by the Pope. You don't get to heaven by Mary. You don't get to heaven by your Uncle Joe or Aunt Sue. You get to heaven by going to Jesus and saying, Lord, you know I'm a dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinner on my road to hell. That's confessing your sins. And I need your forgiveness, and I ask you to come into my heart and save me. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. It's not just going to church and reading the Bible and learning what Jesus did for you and accepting the facts. It's receiving the payment he paid for you on that cross. It's like if you were out in the ocean drowning and somebody threw you a life preserver. You could know that life preserver is there. You could know it's 1 foot in front of you. But unless you reached out and received it, you'd still drown. Well, right now, Jesus Christ is knocking at the door of your heart. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, or in other words, hear my word, and open the door, I will come into him. It's when you open the door of your heart and you ask Jesus to come in and give to you the payment he paid for you on that cross that you receive eternal life. That's why when we get to heaven, we're going to be giving him all the praise for getting us there. Nobody's going to be walking around in heaven patting himself on the back and saying, I got here because I was a good Baptist or Lutheran or Catholic or did good works. That we're going to be giving Jesus all the praise. Right before he died, he said, it is finished. That means all the work necessary for everybody hearing me talk to you right now, all the work necessary for you to go to heaven has already been done by Jesus. Now, whether you go to heaven or hell depends on what you do with that finished payment. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. So if you want to receive eternal life, God hears me talking to you right now.
You've got to do it right now.
Lord Jesus, come into my heart.
All right.
Forgive me of my sins and save my soul.
Until tomorrow, we want to say good night. Amen. God bless. And always, always
keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.